Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Hi, welcome to Bitch Slap. This is Rachel Fisher.
Hi, this is Desi Janikin.
And this is Melrose Place, Season 3, Episode 12.
The doctor who rocks the cradle, not the hand.
But there is a plot point from the hand that rocks the cradle.
Yes. I like that they did that.
Yeah.
You know, they give a little nod.
Did
to
you
the movie.
See a few episodes later, there's another episode with Rock the Cradle in it?
I didn't.
They
rock
really,
the cradle of love.
No, but that would be great if that song were featured in an episode.
So I guess we know this story lasts a little bit longer.
Joe's fucking baby.
Mm.
This is, honestly, Joe has no one to blame but herself in this situation.
Look, this is the first time Joe's storyline has been interesting, and it's because Kimberly has wedged herself into it.
Yeah.
So good for Kimberly.
Let's start at the beginning. Where we last left off, Allison hit a kid on a bike while she was driving drunk to Zach's house.
She's frantic.
And we open with the police are at the scene, and Allison is freaking out. And we see the kid being taken away on a gurney, so at least he's not dead.
Yes.
And she's frantically explaining herself to the police. And I love that she was like, it was totally an accident. He flew out of nowhere. And to be fair, as we said, that kid did fly out of nowhere.
But like we also said, that's what sucks. If you're drunk, it doesn't really matter who caused the accident because you're going to get the blame just for being there drunk.
Yeah. So the cop talking to her is like, we just need to do a breathalyzer. It's standard procedure. And she's like, well, why? I'm not drunk.
No, she thought she got away with not doing that too, because this cop seemed to be buying everything she was selling.
Yeah.
And then he's like, let's just do this. And she's like,
Yeah. And so she's hemming and hawing about taking this breathalyzer, and he practically shoves the little tube into her mouth and is like, just blow into this. And she goes,
she seemed like she was trying to do a light blow. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. I've done that light blow before.
You have?
Oh, yeah. When I, in high school, the cops came to the school because I was drunk on campus.
Oh, my
and
God.
And I tried to fool them because I was like, I have to go to the bathroom first.
Yeah.
And I went to the bathroom and I started like rinsing my mouth out like that was going to do anything. I tried to make myself throw up. And then they gave me the breathalyzer test and I was like really lightly blowing. And they're like, you need to blow harder. You need to blow harder than that.
She's like, I've never heard that before.
Yeah, exactly.
That's so funny because it does seem like it will work.
It doesn't.
Yeah.
And they know. They've seen people do this before.
Yeah.
They get it until they get a reading.
Right. Because anyone who truly wasn't drunk wouldn't give a shit and would just do it correctly. I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she fails the test. She's over the legal limit and she gets arrested and she's like, oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God.
Yeah. Classic Allison.
And then. We do the opening credits. At the jail, Allison makes her phone call, and she calls Billy.
Ugh, the lowest moment.
The lowest moment. It's like the crack of dawn, and Billy is in bed with Susan, who is like licking his face.
This is revolting. No one needs to see this. Not first thing in the morning.
It's so gross. And Allison's like, really sorry that she had to call Billy and had to get him involved. I don't believe that. I think she was happy to call him.
I like when Billy found out she was in jail, he kind of pushed Susan away.
Yeah.
I was like, that would be pissed. If your guy's ex called and he kind of pushed you away.
Right.
It's like, just say, hold on a second.
Yeah.
Don't push me.
No,
when I'm trying to kiss your face.
But she was being really annoying.
She was annoying, and it is Susan. But in general, I'm kind of like, Billy needs to like get a grip.
Allison's like, Billy, I'm in jail and I need $500 for you to bail me out. And he's like, Allison, what happened? And she's like, I don't want to talk about it right now. Just
now.
She's like trying to play it off like it was a misunderstanding.
Now, they were trying to make her look bad, like she spent a night in jail. But I was like, she has never looked better. Her hair was just completely straight and not like done in that Allison style. I was like, you look good, girl. Like, stop doing your hair like that.
She looked easy, breezy, beautiful cover girl.
Yeah.
To me. Because
she has kind of a matronly hairstyle for me. Like, I just feel like it's not like a 25 or 26-year-old's hair.
Allison can skew matronly.
Yeah.
Really easily.
Just her style. It's not like she looks that way, but yeah.
So Billy agrees. And he tells Susan that their weekend plans are canceled because he has to spend $500 to get Allison out of jail.
This makes no sense to me. It's like, you don't have a credit card? Did you have like $500 in an envelope for the trip?
Yeah.
And now you're using it? Like, I'm sorry. Like,
right.
I mean, I get like whatever, but I don't see why the weekend had to be canceled.
Because plus he's going to get that money back too.
Yeah. Very weird.
Anyway, at Jane Mancini Designs, Chris and Jane excitedly open a check, which is going to be their funding. Like, they've been, remember how they were like,
they needed like a big lump sum of money to kind of pay vendors
from a corporation.
Yeah. So they got $500,000.
They got $500,000 for the expansion of Jane's company. And Jane is so excited. She's like, oh my God, Chris, this is, watch out, Donna Karen.
Yeah.
And Chris is like, let me go deposit this for you, Jane.
I have access to all your social security numbers, your banking information. Like, it's just truly like crazy that she's given him all of this power.
She's dickmatized without having ever fucked this guy. Except I do think they fucked in Vegas.
They did fuck, finally.
Right. Because
remember, he won all the money.
Oh, and then
he came back and he was like, now let me dick you down.
He was willing to have sex with innocent Jane.
Because he was hopped up on gambling wins.
Yeah. So she's extra dickmatized now.
Because he probably only did it that one time.
I bet.
And now he's like, now we have to wait.
Yeah. Mm. Now we really have to wait. D&D is having a conference and Amanda tells Billy she's giving him Allison's account because she's not there.
Yeah, once again, Allison just hasn't shown up to work. And Billy doesn't say anything.
No, he...
not that he could say she's in jail, but he doesn't even, like, come up with any lie. Like,
she's sick.
Yeah.
I'm sure at this point, Billy's like,
why bother?
Why bother? Because Allison has missed so much work throughout her career.
Also, everything he says is going to be like, so she's drunk.
Right.
Like...
Right. So basically Amanda's given away all of Allison's accounts and she stresses to Billy after the meeting that she needs his help now because now that Bruce is like, you know,
recovering,
she has all these responsibilities and she says, I need someone I can count on. And obviously that's not Allison.
Right. And she kind of hints that in the coming weeks, things might get even crazier.
Yes.
So it's kind of like, she's kind of doing a little too much, in my opinion.
She's doing a lot. And she's also kind of hinting that like Billy might take over Allison's position.
Right. He's like, and if I move up, you'll move up too.
Right. That night, Allison returns home with Billy and she's like, Billy. She's like, Billy, jail was awful. They treated me like a criminal. It was smelled so bad in there.
Yeah.
And he has just had it with
her. He is just biding his time till he can get the hell out of there.
Yeah, he's walking her back into her apartment, and she goes inside, and she immediately reaches for her bottle of vodka on top of the fridge.
Yeah, and Billy's like, seriously, Allison, of all the times to have a drink, now's not the time.
And she goes, Billy, this is exactly the time to have a drink.
I mean, it's like they're both right. Do you know what I mean?
They're totally both right.
Because I get it. You need a drink after spending a night in jail. But you went into jail because you have a drinking problem. So it is a catch-22.
Exactly. So Allison wants Billy to spend the night. And he's like, I'm sorry, Allison, but Susan and I have plans. And she's like, ugh. She's disgusted by this.
I love how disgusted she is by their, like, she cannot contain herself, and I live for it. Because there's also this moment, I can't remember exactly what he said, and she got her bitchy, drunk Allison moment, and she was like, wrong again, Billy. Like, right. I just don't even remember what it was, but I was laughing so hard the way she responded to it. Like, of course it's wrong again, you idiot.
Yeah.
Once again, you fucking idiot.
And then she starts pouring more vodka. Like, she's already drank her first glass, and this is in the span of, like, 2 minutes.
I mean, I know we've talked about this because I'm not an alcoholic, but I'm always blown away how alcoholics in movies and TVs drink vodka like this. Like, it's so crazy to me how they just pound it so fast.
Yeah.
Like, it's like I can never connect with that. It's so awful to me. I'm like, how do you do that? Like,
because we don't drink for the taste, just for the taste of it.
I guess.
It's not like Diet Coke.
It's so disturbing to see, though. It's like, oh my God. Like,
yeah. I mean, look, I've drank some real gross tasting stuff, but it did the job.
Yeah. You're just trying to get desensitized.
Trying to get there.
Yeah.
You're just trying to get there as quickly as possible. And that's what Allison's doing right now. And he cannot wait to get out of there. And she's like, Billy, I can't be alone right now. And he's like, I posted your bail, Allison.
She's being gross right now.
Yeah, she's being really manipulative.
And it should be embarrassing to her. Maybe she won't. Like, when she sobers up, maybe she'll be like, oh, God, what have I done?
And she says, don't mind me. I just spent the night in jail.
Yeah.
And he's like, and some kid just spent the night in the hospital.
Touche, Billy. He got her.
He got her there. Peter and Amanda are at her apartment, and he gives her a black lace teddy.
He's so horny.
This guy
right?
only thinks about sex and fucking over other business people.
I was thinking about Peter while watching this episode, and it's kind of interesting because normally any guy that is so desperately in love and horny for a person can sometimes be a turnoff because it's like, just like, you know, let me work for it a little bit or something. But he manages to pull it off. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. And especially with somebody like Amanda, who you think might bristle at that kind of those over the top gestures.
Right. Like, it would be gross coming from Billy.
Oh, God.
But it would be hot coming from Jake or Peter or something. Like,
yeah. So Amanda's like really into it, but she can't get horny right now because she wants to talk about the takeover at D&D. And Peter's like, well, too bad, because talking about the takeover makes me even more horny.
He's unstoppable.
Like, he doesn't say that, but he says that.
No.
Like, you can see it in his eyes.
The only thing that makes him hornier than Amanda is literally ruining people's lives financially.
Yeah.
With Amanda, even better.
So he tells her, he's like, I want you to watch Bruce like a hawk and report everything back to me. He's a desperate man, Amanda.
He does talk that way. Why does he talk that way? But I buy it.
I totally buy it. And she's like getting wet too, but she is like a little scared.
She's got that last little glimmer of conscience that he needs to completely get rid of.
Yeah.
Because she still has a little bit.
At the hospital, Kimberly visits a patient that isn't her patient. She just goes into this woman's room. And it's a woman named Mrs. Cortez, and she is carrying a stillborn baby, and she's going to deliver it the next day.
Yeah.
And Kimberly's like, hi, I heard about your case. And I just wanted to come down here and offer my condolences. Like, this is a complete stranger.
She would never do this.
No doctor would do this.
Yeah, I heard about your stillborn.
The only way a doctor would do this would be like, oh, I have an experimental procedure or whatever. Or something like I'm offering my expertise in some way.
No, it's totally inappropriate.
It's so inappropriate. And this woman is like, grieving and completely devastated and believes Kimberly's just feigned compassion. Yeah. And she's like, it's really gross. And so
later, the wild thing is too, Kimberly technically didn't need to meet this woman to do the same thing that she did. Cause she already knew about it, that's all she needed. She didn't have to confirm it with the mom. Like,
no, it's just story exposition. I guess, so we know who Mrs. Cortez is.
Yeah.
And it does definitely drive the point home that Kimberly is like a sociopath.
Yeah. At this that's point. True.
Cause this woman's going through like the worst moment of her life.
And Kimberly is like, this is an opportunity for me.
Yeah. So later she tells Joe about Mrs. Cortez and how she's going to deliver a stillborn baby. And she's like, Joe, this is great news.
It's a perfect timing.
She's like, it's perfect timing for us. We have to take advantage of this opportunity. And Joe's like, I don't know.
Come on, Joe. Like, you got to draw the line somewhere.
And she's like, I'm not due for another 2 weeks.
That was crazy to me because then I was like, oh, and now they're going to induce her 2 weeks early to make this plan happen, which is like technically like not the latest. Like it's still like the baby can be perfectly fine, but it's definitely risky. Like it's not recommended.
Like, Joe is so fucking stupid.
Also, what was their plan before they knew there was a stillborn baby available?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
So Kimberly says that they're going to deliver the baby tomorrow at the beach house. She's going to induce labor. And then they'll check Joe into the hospital and she can pick up her baby at the beach house later. Like they'll keep the baby at the beach house. Kimberly leaves. And then we see Joe make a phone call to book a one-way flight to New York. And she says, and I'll be traveling with an infant.
I was like, this is stupid. Because what if they investigate you and they're like, why is she traveling with an infant? Do you know what I mean?
This is a huge paper trail.
No, I was like blown away that she added that. This is like, no, you drive in a car with your baby. You don't go on the airplane and tell them that you're bringing a baby. Like,
where there's ironclad records.
Yeah.
It's so stupid. The next morning, Allison awakes to a knock at the door. It's Amanda. And she's like, Allison, you haven't been answering your phone. You missed a work meeting. Where have you been? And Allison says, I'm sorry, Amanda. Some pretty terrible things have happened. I just need to be alone.
She's out of control with this because just like I've never seen someone work like this, like, at a company, you cannot get away with this shit. Like,
she's been doing this since she was hired.
And the idea that she thinks she doesn't have to tell her boss what that means, and like she doesn't think she'll suffer a consequence for it. Like, I could get like saying, like, please let me keep my job. I understand you're moving my clients.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? But she's like, this is really unfair. Like, it's like, no, any boss would do it. Like,
yeah, she's being unreasonable. And Amanda's like, well, that's fine that you want to be alone because I put Tom on the Linden account. And then Allison's like, Amanda.
Yeah. She's like, you'll have plenty of time to rest now.
She's like, I fostered that relationship with the Linden account. That's my account. And Amanda snaps back at her and she's like, this company is in a crisis, Allison.
True. Yeah.
Where have you been? And Amanda's just like shocked. I'm sorry. Allison's just like shocked.
It's outrageous that Allison hasn't been fired. Because remember, she rolled into that meeting a few episodes ago, drunk and like all disheveled from Santa Barbara.
Yeah.
And she like missed work that morning. I'm just saying, like, they have like cause to fire her at this point, I think.
Yeah. And it wouldn't be unreasonable.
I think so.
So, yeah, Allison's like all shocked by this. Joe and Kimberly head out because they've decided, oh, I forgot to mention that part of the plan is that Joe and Kimberly are going to drive to Santa Barbara or say they're driving to Santa Barbara and make sure that someone sees them leaving.
Right.
So that they know that they were together.
This is their plan, a picnic. Like the most unbelievable thing that these two characters in particular would do.
Yeah.
I
know they're in the courtyard at Melrose Place. They're carrying a picnic basket and Jake is exiting his apartment and they're like, oh good. Like we can tell Jake where we're going.
I love how they literally say that out loud.
They say it so loud. They're like, look, there's
Jake's here. Okay, good. He'll see us. Just like.
And so Jake is like thrilled. He's just thrilled that Joe's taking a day off.
Who knew she was a workaholic?
Who knew she was still working through this? We haven't seen one of her photo shoots in a while.
And I also thought she was struggling for gigs. Because wasn't there that scene with her and Amanda?
Yeah.
Like a few apps ago?
No one wanted to hire her.
Yeah. But I guess she's a workaholic. Okay. So,
he says, you know, it's funny. I never even realized you two were friends. And Kimberly gives him some bullshit. He's like, well, you know, women, we just love pregnancy. And we just bond over pregnancy. And he's like, okay.
I mean, didn't they have a very good thing where she saw Joe about some, when Joe went to the hospital that time?
Yeah.
She like went to the hospital because she fell down the stairs or something.
Right.
And Kimberly treated her. I'm just saying, why didn't you use that like we became friends when I was treating her instead of just being like, oh, you know, pregnancy brings women together. Just like so stupid to me.
Which is a total lie. And even Jake considers it for a second. He's like, but then he totally believes it.
Because he's like, I don't know how women think.
Yeah. That's woman stuff.
Their plan is just driving me crazy because it's like, in some ways, very thought out, but then not very thought out in many other ways.
Yeah, because it could unravel so quickly.
Yeah.
We see Bruce's house.
Whew.
And he has a home bar, and he's making himself a drink, and Amanda is there. And he's telling her he's doing a lot better, and he's in good spirits.
He looks better to me, too. Like, he's like, I don't know. Did he look more attractive to you?
He just like is presenting better. I think he's not as stressed out. He's like relaxed.
He didn't have his little glasses on.
He's casual.
He was like more casual, I guess. Maybe that's what it was.
Yeah. So he's telling Amanda that he has some good news. And that is that he's like, we're being saved because he has a handshake deal with another advertising agency that wants to merge to become, so they can become the biggest advertising firm in Southern California.
Right.
So this company's going to like bail them out.
Banfield and Lee.
And D&D. And Amanda's like, wow, Bruce, that's amazing. But what does this mean for you and your position at the company? And Bruce is like, well, I'll still be in charge of D&D stuff, but now I'm also going to be on the board of directors for like the big conglomerate.
And he's like so gentle in this scene.
Yeah.
The way he's speaking to her, it's like a new Bruce.
He's very soft-spoken and zen.
Yeah.
And he tells her, he's like, Amanda, I was really worried for a while, but now it's going to be fine. And I have you to thank for that. He's like in complete gratitude towards Amanda.
Yes.
And he says, and in fact, after this merger goes through, I'm going to do everything I can to make sure you get a healthy raise.
Yeah. She's like, okay.
This takeover is so stupid because it's like, she's going to benefit from this merger. It sounds like.
I mean, the weird thing to me is, we've had no indication up until this heart attack that D&D was in trouble.
Right.
That it was like literally almost going to like fold.
Right.
I don't think.
I think.
I mean, it wasn't like a major deal.
I think it was just the heart attack.
Right.
That caused the stock prices to plummet.
That's right. Because they're a stock company. Inexplicably.
So this is the only thing that can save them.
I guess.
Like that
But that was a pretty fast downfall.
No,
that's just like a few weeks.
Crazy. So Amanda's pretending to be really happy for Bruce. And when she leaves his house, she gets in her red Porsche convertible and she gets on her car phone and she's like, Peter, I need to speak with you. It's an emergency.
Now, do you think Bruce's house is a boring McMansion or is it a condo, a Spanish style condo?
Well, in the exterior of this shot, we see a Spanish style house that's like a very generic looking.
Right. It's not a, it's not like an old school. It's like a new,
it's a newer,
new build.
It's a new build that's made to look like a Spanish style home. But looking at this picture I took, it's, it looks like it was built in the 80s.
Oh, totally. Because it has really weird window placement.
It's the windows that give it away. If this were a real 1920s Spanish colonial revival home, it would have arched windows.
Yeah, that one big one in the front. And this has like a square.
These are square windows. And it also has like very round 80s deco kind of elements to it. It's an ugly building.
And inside, it's very 80s looking.
It's so 80s. It's very, lots of pastels, but then also
white. A lot of white.
A lot of white. It's not a great looking house, I gotta say.
No.
Bruce doesn't have great personal style.
I don't think so.
Anyway, let's take a quick break here. We'll be right back.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
At the beach house, Kimberly has employed Maria to assist Joe with the labor. And they're doing this. This is happening today.
I love when Kimberly is like, don't worry. Maria's been with me a very long time. It's like, where?
Doing what?
who is Maria?
This is the first time we've seen Maria or heard about Maria.
Also, who is she? Is she a nurse? Is she their housekeeper who she's just hiring for this gig?
Right. She has to be a nurse, but we've never heard of her.
It's just a very, also like, if she is a nurse, aren't you jeopardizing her career? Getting her involved in this? Like, it's crazy. Poor Maria.
Poor Maria. So Joe is like looking concerned, but she's not going to do anything about it. She's like, I can't believe I'm going to be a mom. I'm just worried. Are you sure something, what if something goes wrong? Shouldn't I be in a hospital?
It's like, yeah. This is all stupid, Joe.
Right. This is really dumb. And Kimberly's like, where's Michael?
He was not in this whole episode.
Oh my God, he was.
At some point, I was like, we haven't seen Michael. Because at some point, I was like, why hasn't he come home yet?
She said
he wouldn't be home, but I assume that meant like during the birth part.
Right.
But we see scenes later where it's like, obviously, days have passed and Michael still hasn't come home. Where is he?
Where is he? And I wish that Kimberly had said, like, Michael's at a medical convention.
It's very rare we don't have a Michael in an episode.
Yeah.
You know, we can go without, you know, Joe.
I can.
No one cares if we miss her for a few rounds.
Right.
Michael's essential.
And we're used to going without Matt because they never give him anything good to do.
Through no fault of his own. Michael must have been doing like a TV movie and like took a week off to film it. Thomas Calabro.
Yeah. So Kimberly's like, Joe, you just relax and remember that why we're doing this the way we're doing it.
Yeah.
And then she prepares the injection to induce the labor.
This is so frightening.
This is psychotic. Mm. That night, Jane and Chris are headed out on a date, and Chris is bragging. He's like, I made reservations at the hottest restaurant in town. We got money now, Jane.
It's like, yeah, but isn't that the company's money?
Right. You're not rich. That's supposed to be invested in the company. And they run into Jane and Jake and Sydney in the courtyard, and Jane immediately sees them and stomps off.
Yeah. She's like, oh God.
Yeah. Oh God. And Chris says to Jake, don't worry, Jake. Sydney and I have kissed and made up.
And we did it for you, Jake.
And then so Jake asks Sydney, he's like, what was that all about? And she plays dumb.
Chris is such an idiot. Like, why is he doing this?
It's like he also gets off on almost getting caught.
Of course.
He wants to make sure, like, people, like, know about it, but not Jane.
It's just so irritating to watch someone like this.
I hate him. I can't wait for him to get his just desserts. Back at the beach house, Joe is pushing.
Okay. Did you feel like this was filmed almost like a Rosemary's Baby type birthing scene? Because there was something about the aspect ratio or something where it looked like it was almost like a nightmare dream type sequence.
That's a really good point.
Because there was something about the way they were filming it where you felt a little disoriented and it kept cutting back and forth between Kimberly and her.
Yeah.
It was really weird, but it didn't go like black and white like Allison's molesting dreams. It was more like normal looking, but there was something about it that was kind of off.
Yeah. We're supposed to feel like Joe is in peril. This isn't normal labor.
Right. And she's feeling weird, maybe. Like maybe she's drugged up a bit too, right? For the pain and stuff.
Yeah.
And Maria's there.
Poor Maria's like become an accomplice in this and she doesn't even know. No, Kimberly's just so ruthless and confident that she can get away with something this crazy that she just doesn't even care that she's bringing another witness into this.
No, she's just completely focused on her baby.
Yeah. So the baby comes. It's a boy. And Kimberly takes him away.
And she says to Maria, el bebé es caliente? And I was like, what? She's like, get the baby hot. I was like, is this, I almost felt like it was like me coming up with Spanish words. I was like, is that a complete sentence?
She's like, we got to take the baby. We got to get the baby checked into the hospital. And wait, I was confused about,
I'm confused too. Cause why would you put the baby in the hospital?
I thought they were keeping the baby at the beach house.
Yeah. I think they need to get Joe in the hospital.
Okay, so I wrote my notes wrong. Kimberly's so dumb.
I'm just curious, like, are they, like in this circumstance, how would it really go down? The woman who gives birth to the stillborn at home just walks into the hospital with the body? Because it doesn't seem like that happens here.
Yeah, because once Joe arrives at the hospital, wouldn't they be like, where's the baby?
And she's like, oh, it's already in the morgue. Because that's what happened, right? The woman already had the stillborn.
Right.
No,
but
it's crazy.
Wouldn't they be like, wait a minute. Why is there only one stillborn and we know Mrs. Cortez? This is so dumb.
Well, because it's like it all relies on Kimberly being able to do all this stuff without anyone in the hospital asking one single question.
Right.
Like, what happened? Why are we checking Joe in? Where do I pull her chart? What do I say she's in for? And is she in labor? No. She had a stillborn. Oh, where's the baby? Like, there's no follow-up question. Kimberly just does all this behind the scenes.
And Mrs. Cortez also had a stillborn, but I know that she changes the name on the file, but wouldn't they be like, wait, where's Mrs. Cortez's record?
Exactly.
What happened to her record?
Because she changed it from whatever they were going to give her the body, I guess, to bury, to cremation. So wouldn't Miss Cortez be like, where's my baby? Yeah. I didn't want it cremated.
Right.
I'm just like,
no, it's so dumb. This plan's so stupid. So at the hospital, Kimberly goes to the computer room into the morgue files, and she changes the name Cortez to Reynolds and changes burial to cremated to make it look like Joe Reynolds checked into the hospital or whatever.
And wanted the baby immediately cremated.
Immediately cremated. And cut to Kimberly telling Jake, Jane, and Amanda, who've
Why?
Weird crowd.
I know, because I was like, they clearly gave Doug Savant the week off, because he for sure would have been there.
He would be working.
He'd be working. But even if he wasn't, he's the person who would be at the hospital during this moment. Not Amanda.
100%.
Like, Amanda? Why is Amanda there?
It's crazy. And so, yeah, she's like, Kimberly's telling everyone that Joe had the baby on the side of the road and it was stillborn. And that now Joe's recovering in the hospital.
Yeah. And they're just all like, oh, it's like, doesn't really seem that sad to them. They're just kind of standing there. I'm like, okay.
They're not asking enough questions.
Cause it's like, Joe lost her baby. Why aren't you guys more like, oh my God, this is like in like a single tear, not even Jane. Like, it's just like crazy to me to think you would hear your friend lost her baby like that and not be a little bit like more shook.
In such a dramatic fashion that they were doing, she was giving birth on the side of the road.
They look like they're hearing her treatment plan for like a diagnosis of like appendicitis.
Yeah.
They're like, okay, we got it. It's just very funny.
It's that level of solemnity.
No, they just have a little bit of a furrowed brow.
Yeah, they're like, okay.
You'd be a little distraught, I would think, even if it's just like, how are we going to help her? What do I say to her? Like, this is so terrible.
To
like
her,
nothing.
Right.
They're just, oh my God, she lost her baby. That's sick.
Just like, yeah. So the next day, Jane is in her studio and she leaves a voicemail for Chris. And she's like, hi, sweetie. I was expecting you, but you didn't call me back. Anyway, if I don't hear from you, I'm just here working on some designs, and I'll see you at your place later tonight.
I have to say, I know she says designs all the time, but for some reason, this one really stood out to me as being egregious.
This was an egregious one.
Design. It's like, okay, Josie, you gotta tell me why you say it this way. Because now, how is no one on set be like, you really say designs unusually?
Yeah.
Or you know how you hear yourself and you're like, oh, I say that word weird, and you like fix it after this many years on television? She's not been like, ugh, I need to fix that.
At this point, she's like, I can't change it now because that's how Jane Mancini says designs.
It's so funny to me. Like, that is what I would ask her in an interview.
Oh, my
like,
God.
Were you, like, intentional at some point?
No, I couldn't ask her that because I know there's stuff that I do and say that if someone brought it up to me, I'd be mortified and I wouldn't want to embarrass her. But I am surprised.
I had to know.
But I know. I am surprised. I'm surprised no one asked her. I'm just saying I wouldn't ask her.
I also want to know, was this talked about back in the day?
Was it talked about back in the day? Did people around the water cooler and friends who watched Melrose Place discuss this? Did they discuss this?
I definitely feel like I went to like a gay bar viewing thing where they would watch it every week.
Yeah.
And I feel like they had to know.
Of course.
Like by that point, which would probably have been it's like last year, I think at that point that was like a drink moment, right? Like do a shot, she said designs.
Right.
Kind of thing.
I am curious, and I'm curious if, yeah, I don't know, because I was way too young to know, well, to be privy to these
right.
Melrose Place discussions.
I just don't think it was as obvious back then. Like, now there's the internet. People will watch things and go online.
And pick everything apart.
Yeah, but and it's then, like, it had to be happening back then.
Well, yeah, because now if something weird happens on a TV show, someone will post a clip up. clip of it on Twitter, and then it'll go viral, and it'll be something that no one necessarily thought of, maybe.
Yeah, it's weird to think back where it's like, where did we all talk about shows back in the day? You had to either go to a viewing thing or just discuss the next day at work.
Or with your friends.
And did you go into that much detail? Probably not.
And only if you were like super into the internet and you belonged to like a message board.
Right. I kind of forget when that message board started.
But there have been like
I guess it was late 90s.
No, I'm saying there have been internet message boards like since the early 90s.
Right.
But that's only for like internet heads back
then. But the later seasons could have been on like a 97 or something.
Where it was more widely used.
It was definitely more out there. But it was slow, right?
Well, and not the scope that it is where it's ubiquitous, where everybody's on a version of a message board. Social media.
There might be rewatches have happened maybe in the early 2000s too, where people started doing that more, like rewatching old shows together. I don't know. I don't know.
I'm sure we're not the first people to discuss the way she says designs.
No.
Back at Melrose Place, we see Chris leave a jewelry box on Sydney's doorstep, and then he knocks and she opens, and he only hides for like 10 seconds.
He's so weird.
He's such a weirdo. And he says, since Big Sis is at work, I thought I'd drop by.
What? This guy is, I hate him.
I hate him so much. And she opens the box. It's a pair of earrings. And she says, they're ugly and I don't want them.
That was like, I was like, that's so me.
Yeah. And then he's like, if you don't accept them, I'm going to tell Jake. He makes her keep these earrings. And she's like, fine, I'm just going to sell them.
Good.
And he's like, makes a crack about her being a whore.
Here's the funny thing. When he makes a crack about her being a whore, which he does all the time, he kind of like, I notice he does this thing when he makes a jab. He's really proud of himself and he kind of bulges his eyes a little bit. Like, is that because, you know, you used to be fine taking that, you whore. Hey. Yeah. He's so proud of himself when he's mean to Sydney that he like does this little eye thing that is hilarious to me. Cause I was like, Jesus Christ, you sicko. Like
he gets rock hard.
He truly lives for making these little jabs at Sydney.
Yeah. That night at Shooters, Allison is drinking at the bar and Billy arrives and she tells him that she made a big mistake and she should never have let him go. And he goes, isn't that a little late, Allison?
I'm in a relationship.
I'm with Susan now.
It's like, well, you just started. You were with Allison for years. Like,
yeah. And she's like, I've been doing a lot of thinking, Billy, and I need you. And she goes on to say, like, when I was with you before and I was drinking too much and you told me I needed to stop, I was able to stop because you asked me. And Billy's like, Allison, I'm happy to help you stop drinking, but we cannot get back together. And she goes, Billy, we belong together. And he goes, what about Zach?
It's like, come on, Billy.
That's not a long-term relationship. It's Zach. And she's like, Zach is, you know, I can't depend on Zach. And he's like, well, I'm with somebody else now, and I'm in love with her.
Ugh.
And then Allison calls Susan the queen of the boyfriend snatchers.
I also love at some point, I can't remember what he says, but she says, I guess you're talking about little Susan. Little Susie. Little Susie.
That's when she says it. She goes, I guess you're referring to little Susie, the queen of the boyfriend snatchers.
There's something so funny about little Susie. It's like some insult.
She has so much disdain.
I love her drunken insults that aren't that good, but actually very biting.
Right. And this is when it becomes clear that she's drunk because Billy goes, what are you drinking? And she says, soda.
And she slurps. She's like, slurps up the last ice and she's like, you can taste it if you don't believe me.
And he says, I don't believe you.
I was like, you could taste the vodka still.
You could smell it. Yeah. It would still smell like the remnants of vodka.
But they take a good 5 seconds of her slurping.
And then she and then she gets up and she goes, guess you'll never know.
I honestly, I'm the one time in my life I want someone to not get sober, it's with Allison. It's like, just let her be a drunk for the whole show run. Like,
it's so good.
It's when she's at her best.
It's so funny. At the beach house, Maria is rocking the baby, and Kimberly arrives home as it's getting light outside. And she tells Maria she can go. And Kimberly takes the baby, and she sits down in the rocking chair. And she's like, we're going to feed you. And then she unbuttons her blouse and starts trying to nurse the baby. And she's like, mommy's here.
The baby is screaming, too. It's like, you got to feed the fucking baby. Like, at least get one of those little tubes that puts the milk right up to your nipple. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, that they do for some people.
To simulate.
Yeah. And it's just like, the baby's hungry.
Yeah.
It's not, he's just sucking on a non-producing tit.
Right.
Like that's not why the baby's crying, because it needs that comfort. It needs food.
Right.
Like, how are they feeding this baby?
I don't know. And it's really concerning.
It's sick.
The baby is screaming its head off, but then they do a close-up of the baby and the baby is like not making a sound. Like, you can tell the baby that they just inserted that noise in there because the baby's totally like fine.
No, it's just the head against her bare chest, like covering her boob.
Yeah. Later that morning, Zach shows up at Allison's apartment. I was shocked to see him.
Yeah, because he seemed like he bailed, and that type of guy would.
Yeah, and we would never see him again. And he tells Allison that he got her car fixed up for her, which I thought was really nice. And she's cold to him. And she's like, Zach, you didn't help me get out of jail. And he's like, look, I was very triggered by that.
I got lots of DUIs.
Yeah.
I don't need to go through that again.
He was very vague about it, but the subtext was that Zach has spent more than one night in jail a few times.
I liked seeing Allison in this because she clearly has like the upper hand in this relationship in a way.
Yeah.
Because it seems like he was sort of like had his tail between his legs and was trying to win back her affection. And she's like, okay, like,
yeah,
you know.
And like, Zach isn't a bad guy. He's just also an alcoholic.
Oh, totally.
He's just also a mess.
Absolutely.
And is never going to grow up.
No, and this is definitely, I don't know how this relationship plays out, but you can see where one of them gets sober first and the other person cuts them out, right?
Right, right.
Because they don't want to be around someone who's healing.
Yeah. So Zach apologizes that he didn't bail her out of jail. And he's like, it won't happen again. And that's enough for Allison because they start kissing.
I do think it was nice that he fixed her car.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
This was like he did not have to do this. And honestly, to me, that's way cooler than someone showing up to the jail to bail me out. Because it is a hassle to go to jail. But the car thing would really stress me out.
Right. And on top of everything.
On top of everything else, having to get your car fixed. And that the fact that he just took care of that is like, that would make me feel so happy. So then she tells him, okay, you got to drive. And the way she's just so cavalier, like she's giggling about it. She's like, I have a court date. You got to drive me to court.
They're bestie addicts together.
Yeah.
And I love it. You know, my court date. Oh, God. I got my own.
At the hospital, the Carter's lawyer is in Joe's hospital room grilling Kimberly and Joe about what happened to the baby.
And I was like, is this typical? Because this seems really like, we know it's fake, but like that would be really cruel.
And really fast.
Yeah.
Really fast. So he's grilling them. He's like, and he says the Carters want to pay for the service and burial. And Joe says no. She's arranged to have the baby cremated. And then he believes everything that they say about the side of the road. And as he's leaving, Joe is like, tell the Carters I want no further contact with them ever.
And this is what blew me away. He shuts the door and they immediately both start cracking up.
They're laughing.
They're laughing seconds after he shut. I was like, dude, wait for him to get down the hallway.
No, Kimberly starts like laughing her ass off.
And she's like, we did it. It worked. And I was like, he's literally right on the other side. It's like, you can't wait 2 fucking seconds.
Because
what if he came back in because he forgot his briefcase?
No, she's like laughing her head off. At court, Allison's lawyer manages, he really goes to bat for her.
Right, because she's facing a pretty serious charge, and he's trying to get it basically down to like a misdemeanor.
And he gets it. The judge agrees.
He looks at Allison, too, before he makes his decision, and he's like, ah, she's a good girl.
Yeah.
Right? Like, yeah, there's like this moment.
She's a good girl. And so the judge gives her... he reduces it down to a misdemeanor and gives her a year probation, a fine, and alcohol abuse counseling. And she is thrilled. And Zach is so proud of her. He's like, you did it. You beat the system. And he says it right while they're stealing.
I was laughing at that, too, because I was like, you were right in the system. You got to wait till you get outside of the courthouse to say you beat the system.
Yeah.
He's like in the middle of the aisle of the courthouse.
Yeah.
It was so funny.
Jane is at the bank.
Oh, boy.
And the bank guy, he's not a teller, but what are the other guys where you sit down in the chairs with them? What are they called?
I don't know.
Is he a manager?
They're above a teller.
They're above tellers.
They deal with opening and closing accounts.
Yeah.
When you lose your card, you have to talk to them.
You always have to sit down in those leather chairs with them.
And you're like, ooh, I'm an adult.
No,
I'm doing business at the bank.
I feel like such an adult when I sit down in those chairs with them.
It's so crazy. It's so outdated. I was like, are you going to give me some Sanka?
Yeah.
It just seems so old. I mean, I rarely go into the bank, but obviously you have to every once in a while.
Right.
And it's just always fun. You're always like, I'm the youngest person here.
Anyway, I still went to the bank. I still regularly went to the bank to deposit things up until like a year ago.
Really?
Yeah. I like going into a physical bank. I had such a problem. I was so resistant to like taking a screenshot of my check and uploading it.
Yeah.
Or doing online banking. I really liked being in the physical
bank. I guess I've had direct deposit for so long that I haven't really had to deposit things.
Yeah.
Maybe that's part of it.
No, I just, I would fucking wait in that line. Like, no, there isn't a better way. I have to do it this way, like an old person.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Jane, this guy, the bank guy is like, we got a problem with your account. And Jane is like, I've had 3 vendors complain about bad checks. And he's like, well, you're about to have more vendors complaining about bad checks because your account balance is 0. And she's like, that's impossible. There's supposed to be over $500,000 in my bank. And she Chris deposited a check. And he says, well, Mr. Marchette didn't deposit the check. He cashed it.
And she's like, now my crushed velvet order won't be arriving. What if I have to make a few Edwardian jackets?
Those bolts of purple crushed velvet won't be coming to the shop anytime soon. And so Jane finally gets it. She finally realizes Chris is a piece of shit in this moment.
Yeah. But I bet you she still is like, well, maybe there's something, a misunderstanding.
Well, as we see, she's still...
Doesn't get it. Yeah.
She thinks her sister is like the villain. So Sydney, we see Sydney walking down the street with a bunch of shopping bags, and she gets dragged into a limo, and it's Chris in a stretch limousine.
It looked like she was by, I feel like I knew where she was. There's like this El Pollo Loco that was right across from like a Cuban or a Haitian restaurant. I can't remember.
Where?
It's like in Hollywood, right below, like right kind of south of where like the Arc Light is. I don't know what that street is. Vine? I guess it's on Vine.
Yeah.
There's like a El Floridita or something. Do you know that restaurant?
Oh, yeah, I do.
I feel like that's where she was.
That's like my old neighborhood.
Yeah, that little, there used to be a comedy club there, or they would have like comedy shows.
Yeah.
And had like the red velvet banquettes. I feel like that's what she was walking out of, because I recognize that.
But
it was such
shopping?
A random place for her to be, because she's just in this random strip mall in Hollywood.
And like, where would she have get all those shopping bags from?
It made no fucking sense, because she lives on by Melrose.
She walked.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
this is like implying that she's walking home from Hollywood and Highland.
Yeah, it's very bizarre.
When she should have just gone shopping on Melrose.
Absolutely.
Anyway, which Melrose place is also very far from.
I get very excited when I feel like I recognize a place.
Me too.
Especially when it's random like that.
Yeah, it's not like a major landmark.
No.
So she gets dragged into this stretch limo. It's 1994. Obviously, we're having a stretch limo moment here.
And the absolutely most humiliating aspect is she's wearing those ugly earrings.
Right, because I forgot to mention there's a scene of Sydney in her apartment looking at the earrings and then holding them up to her ears.
Yes.
And being like, maybe. Because she can't resist a little treat. She can't resist.
She tried, and then she got busted because he immediately clocks that she's wearing the earrings.
And,
and that's got to feel bad.
Oh, God. It was so embarrassed for her. At D&D, Amanda barges into Bruce's office, and she's like, I've been trying to talk to you all day. You've been dodging my calls. We need to talk. And he is standing with facing the window with his back to Amanda, and he's talking to her, and he's like, the agency pulled out of the merger. And he explains, rumors of the merger drove the stock prices up, and now they don't want to buy the company.
It's too expensive.
It's too expensive. And Amanda's like, oh, Bruce, I'm sorry. And he turns around and he says, somebody decides to leak the information and the deal disintegrates. And he's like, I figured it all out, Amanda. And she's still playing dumb. And he says, it makes perfect sense, really. Only three people at Bainfield and Lee knew about the deal. And you were the only other person that I told about the deal. And then he starts screaming at her.
He is on his last nerve.
We have never seen Bruce angry like this before.
Right.
He says, why would you do such a thing? And she's like, oh. And then he goes, you're fired, Amanda. I hope I never have to see your traitorous face ever again as long as I live.
No, she ruined him.
He is through with her.
Yeah. It's sad. I feel for Bruce.
I feel for Bruce too. And Amanda is like, oh my God. And it's like a very dramatic moment.
Yeah.
Because we get a close up on her face.
Well, they could have figured out a way where she didn't look so complicit.
Yeah.
But yeah.
That night, Jake stops by Jane's house and she's like, what are you doing here, Jake? He's like, I want to know where Sydney is. She's been missing all day. She didn't show up for work. And she's like, I don't know anything. But then her expression changes and she realizes that she hasn't seen Chris all day. And she's and about the bank stuff,
yeah,
obviously. And then she says, don't you get it, Jake? We've been had. And she says, Chris and Sydney have taken off with $500,000. So she thinks that Sydney and Chris are in cahoots.
They were in on this all the time, all along.
I just love that Jane has such little faith in her sister that she thinks that her sister orchestrated this.
Right. Like, why would she fabricate all these charges against Chris? Like, she could have just laid low regarding Chris. Do you know what I mean? If they were planning on running away with it all.
Yeah.
There was no reason to like fabricate all these like sexual assault things and like creepy behavior
and
on his part.
Saying that she hated him and that he was awful and then getting together with Jake.
Yeah. But okay, Jane.
She's a fucking idiot.
It's like even when she gets it, she can't completely get it because she has to somehow make Sydney the villain.
She's got to blame the woman.
Yep.
And I don't like that.
I don't either.
Joe goes to the beach house and knocks on the door And Kimberly answers, but she's got that little chain lock.
Yeah.
That's, you know, so she's not like totally opening the door.
Which is crazy with Joe, right?
Like, and she's like, Kimberly, I'm here to pick up my baby. And Kimberly is like, oh, Joe, oh, she starts gaslighting. Like, this is gaslighting.
Right. I love, like, the first thing she says when she opens the chain door. She's like, what do you want?
Yeah.
Just like, you have her baby.
I'm here to get my baby.
What do you want?
And then Kimberly goes, oh, Joe, you must be suffering from postpartum depression. Joe, your baby died, remember? And Joe's like, no, it didn't. You were there.
She's like, wait a minute. I got conned.
Yeah. And she's, and then Kimberly's like, goodbye. And she shuts the door and locks it. And Joe is pounding on the door. And she's like, give me my baby.
It's just like, go to the glass door and break it. Yeah, the porch is right there, like the front deck.
They have the huge glass door.
Like, get that fucking chair. Wait for Michael to come. Like, she's got to know when Michael sees this. That's not happening.
Well, Michael, even if Michael didn't believe that was Joe's baby, he'd take any excuse to not have a baby in the
exactly.
house. And he'd be like, come on, just give her the baby.
Just give her the baby.
Come on, babe.
Yeah.
Come on, babe.
Get rid of that babe.
It's so crazy. I mean,
I love that they went there with the tit. Like, I mean, that was primetime TV.
That's crazy
that they won't show Matt kissing a man on the lips, but they'll let us think Kimberly is sticking her tit in a baby's mouth. Like, they're wild for that. Like, that was crazy.
It was crazy. Doesn't that exact thing happen in Hand That Rocks?
Yes.
Hand That Rocks
did
the Cradle.
Did we recap Hand That Rocks the Cradle?
Yes.
Okay.
We did.
It does happen. And she's even in a rocking chair.
Yes.
And I think she might have actually had milk because she had lost a baby.
Yes.
So she was using that baby to keep the milk going or something like right. gross like that. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I know we're not going to have this storyline for long, but I like seeing Kimberly with her baby, stolen baby.
You do?
Kind of. More than I like seeing Joe with a baby.
I just think Kimberly's weird mother... mommy arc is so bizarre to me
because it comes out of nowhere that she even wanted to be a mom so desperately. Like,
it totally comes
out
of nowhere.
I get maybe she's like, yeah, I'm gonna have kids one day, but this is like, I need a baby now kind of thing.
It totally comes out of nowhere.
Also, we don't really know. I wish we had more explanation what's going on with Kimberly.
Yeah,
like what exactly happened, because she wasn't like this before. So it was a traumatic brain injury?
It was a traumatic brain injury. It
caused her to be a sociopath?
Yes.
Is that possible?
Because you're right. She was never a sociopath from jump, because in season one, when she starts the affair with Michael, she feels really guilty about it.
Yes. Like, she did a bad thing, which a lot of good people can do that. Like, yeah. It doesn't make them a sociopath, because you're right. She struggled with it. I would be great if we had like, this would be a great opportunity for like scenes with her therapist.
Yes.
Where we get a little more insight to what's going on with her.
Or we got some, a scene with when she was like in the coma or whatever, when they're like, well, she damaged her frontal cortex and that can result in blah-bitty blah.
Yeah. I just kind of want, even if it's fake science, I kind of like those scenes.
I do too.
And I like seeing those therapists maybe struggle with like what's happening, like we might need to like, you know, like he's kind of concerned.
We want a little bit of,
yeah,
of that.
It would be interesting, but yeah.
Anyway, I'm excited for next week.
Yeah. I mean,
I don't know.
We got a lot going on. We got Bruce, we got D&D, we've got Allison's alcoholism.
I genuinely forget what happens to this baby, because the baby is not like in the show for long.
No, I definitely remember a little bit what happens.
Okay.
But yeah, you're right. The baby does go away at some point.
The baby just goes away.
Austin, I think its name is too.
Oh my God, I totally forgot the baby's name is Austin.
Did we not know it was a boy? I thought we already knew it was a boy, because Kimberly like, it's a boy. And I was like, didn't we know that? Or maybe I just knew because I knew what
yeah,
happened.
Yeah, I knew it was a boy too.
I want some more. I love crazy Kimberly. I want to see what happens to Chris, because we know something bad's going to happen to him.
I remember what happens. I just don't remember how we get there, but I'm excited and I think it's coming soon.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
I mean, I could guess.
Okay. Well, it's, yeah, we'll get there.
We'll get there.
We'll get there. We'll see you next week.
Bye. Bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High-quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.